Yeah, speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, I grabbed your attention by talking about the bodies of men and women, which had absolutely nothing to do with the meat of the sermon, but it achieved its end if it got you thinking, what on earth is he talking about? At least it meant you were listening. I sat down at my desk on Friday and listened to the church bells chime the noon hour. My mind was a mess of busyness and too many jumbled lists of jobs to do. I got up and went into the church and knelt down in front of the altar and hoped that some kind of sensible prayer might come to me. It didn't. So I stood up again and went back to my desk and thought of Jesus asleep in the boat, tossing wildly about in the waves, and the hardy fishermen just beginning to lose it, shaking him awake and yelling, "Don't you care if we drown?" I imagined Jesus being helped to his feet in the bucking boat and probably holding on to the mast, looking around him for a moment before uttering those amazing words, "Peace, be still." I needed to appropriate those words deep within myself to be able to go on with my day in any sort of order or calm. And the more I thought on those three words, the more I knew I needed them, not just for the moment I was trying to find inspiration for my sermon, but for every minute of every day of my life. I've spent most of my life at what people might call the sharp end of existence, as an adult learning the cut and thrust of surgery, and increasingly called to the management of emergency cases and ultimately war and trauma surgery. Even as a priest, my calling was the result of a battlefield experience, and in childhood I was the constant target of brutal bullying attacks, which in the 1950s boarding schools often included weapons. But this is not an exercise in self-pity, even if it's beginning to sound suspiciously like one.
We're just in church. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, how are you?
Could somebody mute? Thank you. Rather, this is a realization that I am no different from you, and we all feel these same pressures and moments of desperation. I don't walk in your shoes any more than you walk in mine, but we are each trying to follow the same or similar paths. I hope that's true. But I cannot be Christ to you if you do not share your pain with me or with another of your brothers and sisters. Even Jesus had to ask, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" I guess the panicking disciples in the storm-tossed fishing boat answered that question pretty clearly for him on that occasion. Nevertheless, when we come to our prayers, do we not often fill the space with words and petitions, pleas and requests? How often do we allow God to fill the space with his peace and silence, and give us the stillness we so desperately need? The blankness of your mind when it is so overwhelmed with the clutter of your life that you don't know where to start in your prayers is a gift, if we only knew it. A gift not of dumbness or stupidity, not of ignorance or confusion, but of serenity, of the numinous, of the grace of silence. Wallow in that pool of unknowing and feel yourself embraced by the love of God. He knows only too well how we agonize mentally and spiritually. Did he not do the same as a man in the desert and again in Gethsemane? Let us also learn from those examples that we do not bring a list of jobs to the Creator and ask him to tick them off and let us know when he's done them all. We reflect that Jesus always ended with, "Thy will be done," or equivalent. In our moments of storm and tempest, we should not always look to the supernatural hand of God to impose its will upon us, but use the God-given abilities that we have and that those around us offer. Just this week, I've been feeling overwhelmed by the mess in the vestry that really hasn't been cleared in any way in the last decade of David's incumbency, or so it feels to me. Filing cabinets and drawers are full of heaven knows what, and I'm sure much of it hasn't been looked at in years, nor is most of it of any value or importance anymore. But my day-to-day priorities have not included sorting the office, and I'm notoriously bad at paperwork and find it enormously stressful. And then Sheila comes in and says she'd be happy to sort it out. And I find myself refusing her help, but we've still got all our boxes to unpack from the move. Am I not like the old couple on the roof of their house in a flood, saying to the helicopter pilot that comes to lift them off to safety, "No, no, no, you go away. God will save us." Sometimes I can be so stupid. So now I find myself saying the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We could get into a discussion over who originally penned that prayer, but it's been attributed to at least four people, so I guess no one will ever know for sure. So I need to sense that peace, just as you do. In fact, I suspect that just about everyone, apart from the odd hermit or monk or nun or some other form of recluse, must from time to time scream inwardly, "Stop the world, I want to get off." It isn't enough to take the time out and tell ourselves we're resting, as so often we aren't. We're good at lying to ourselves and letting our endless agenda sweep over us in a tidal wave, such that we lie awake at night sweating over what we haven't done and what is still to be done, and we are as far from a sense of peace as the disciples were in that storm. What we have to learn to do is to let go and let God. In our own strength, we can do nothing. And telling God what he has to do for us may well be exactly not what he has in mind for us. At some point, we have to learn to trust, not only in God's ability to direct our ways, but that his will is actually what we need to want for ourselves. Oftentimes, we actually don't even know what we want for ourselves. I'm sure you remember the words to this Stephen Sondheim song, "Don't you love farce? My fault, I fear. I thought that you want what I want. Sorry, my dear, But where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. Don't bother. They're here. Although Send in the Clowns is a sad and wistful song, it's also a song of gentle surrender. And if I want to leave you with anything that you can take home this day, it would be that gentle sense of surrender to God's power and purpose for our lives, and a commitment to His will for every part of our days. When we get stressed out, we're losing sight of Him. So it's absolutely okay to take time out to let your mind go blank. Listen to a seashell. The silence will be full of blessing as you hear Him calming the storm of your life. Peace. Be still.